This is tape number 9 of a comprehensive Bible study course by Cecil DeSille. The title of this tape is Making Jesus King.
We began our course with salvation and came through the blood sonship, and now we are at the point where we must consider the kingship of Jesus Christ. In our last lesson, we dealt with the thought that a sinner cannot live righteous, neither can a righteous person live in sin. No evil spirit can manifest Christ, and that we are the manifestation of the living God. We, those who are born again, who are saved, this is the purpose for which we were saved. Now, we have reached to the point where we will proclaim Jesus Christ King. And just as we take a look forward from this point, we want to spend a few moments on the thought of the kingship of Christ within and without. We know that the Bible says He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we know that if He is King of Kings, then there must be others who are kings. He is the King, and we will be kings. The first step, therefore, in becoming a king is to make Jesus Christ King. Jesus is not to be King of the kings of the natural earth system, as so many of us thought at one time. The present trend is that the kings of the earth are being deposed and dispossessed of their thrones. We are being made into kings and priests unto God. This is found in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. And if Jesus is our King, then truly the title King of Kings would be correct. In Revelation 19 and verse 16, here again is that reference. In Revelation 1 and verse 6, the literal translation of the Greek would seem to say that He made us a kingdom, priests to the God and Father of Jesus. Also in Revelation 5:10, quoting directly from the Greek, and has made them a kingdom and priests to our God. This can be safely translated, made us not only the kingdom, but kings in His kingdom. In other words, we are the kingdom of God, and then God is going to give us a kingdom in which we will be kings. The kingdom of God, which we are that kingdom of God. Since in the context shows, and they shall reign on earth. In other words, after it says make kings, then He said, and we, the kings, are the basileon, the kingdom, as translated in some texts, that we were made the kingdom of God. Surely the kingdom of God is within us. We are made the kingdom, but it also reads, we were made kings because the context says that we shall reign on earth. This shows that not only we shall be a kingdom, but earth shall be our kingdom. As a further clarification, let me say clearly that Christ reigns over us He can use us freely to reign over the earth. You see, as soon as Christ is reigning over you, Christ can use you to reign over somebody else. Let us read the prophecy in Luke, which the angel Gabriel told to Mary. Luke chapter 1 and verses 31 to 33. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. This is from the Revised Version. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Verse 33. Now, we have already gone through the word Jesus, Yahshuah, to be the rescuer, the keeper, the maintainer, the healer, the deliverer. Then, anytime you get anxious about anything, you are actually, technically, denying Jesus Christ. Anytime you get frustrated and flustered over any situation, you forget momentarily even that Jesus is master of that very situation over which you are flustered. We want you to look at a new dimension of Jesus. When we look at Jesus as Savior, we want to see him as a continuation of salvation, a present salvation, an abiding Savior, a deliverer, a person who continues to create survival for us. In speaking of survival, I feel to make an interjection right here with a vision I had last night. I'm not saying that I walk by visions, but I'm not going to turn my back on any vision that looks like it has a meaning and as if it came from God. Truth is, I do not know fully the meaning of this vision, but I feel in the spirit to tell you, and that someone who hears it might get a quickening from the spirit. You are the body of Christ, and I'm sure God will speak and give someone the meaning, and maybe that person can pass it back to me. I saw myself on a high balcony as if it were over the sea, and that the President of the United States was on the balcony about to give a speech. But we the Christians were behind him, and he was in a black suit. I could not see which president it was, but I could see his head, and if I doubt not, he had dark color hair. In the vision, it seemed he had accepted the word we had ministered to him, and this word was about Babylon and the falling of the carnal system. Now he went up to give a speech, and to our great surprise, all these thousands of people were there listening to him, and he started to speak about Babylon and the system and its failures and uselessness. He picked up a chair which looked like a throne, which was painted white, and they seemed to have been placed there for him to sit on. He picked it up and showed them and said, "This is all vanity." He picked up the mace, or that authority of the speaker, the symbol of authority of the speaker in the Senate, and he picked that up, and he said, This is all man's making, and man's way, and man's folly, and vanity. As he continued his speech, the people realized that he had turned over to God and the gospel. They sent a deputation of evil-looking men to arrest him and us. They came up on the platform and they acted as if we had done something to him, and that he was in our power, as it were, and that he was of no more use to them. They arrested us all, and they were taking us down the street. Of the city, however, was divided. Some were for us and some were against us, and it started something like a civil war, and all around us there seemed to have been fighting. They were wrecking the buildings and throwing stones and firing shots and all that sort of thing. We were led along the streets in the midst of all this fighting, and we offered no resistance. Even when we saw those who were fighting on our side, quite near to us. I do not know what it means, but you pray about it. There's one thing I know, that Jesus was telling us not to resist them. The men who arrested us, we were told not to resist them. And so we quietly went down with them, and through the fighting, we were passing right through, and stones and all missiles were whizzing by us, but none of us were hit. And we were passing right through. I tell you this because it flashes to me that in this moment of time, we are going to need Jesus in his capacity of preservation and deliver us more than ever it was before. That we, the people of this century, and the people of this time, are going to use a power of deliverance and preservation, a power for victory, that will become a decisive factor in our survival as a people. So when I spoke the word Jesus, hallelujah, it came to me that there was much more power and force in the understanding of who Jesus is than we had been exercising previously. You see, people have a way of saying Jesus, Jesus, for every little thing. But we are here talking about the message that the angel gave Mary. Let's see what he said Jesus would be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Do you know what the throne of David is? Let me explain shortly to you. The throne of David is the heart of the people of God, Israel. What? Jesus said, "Sons and daughters, give me thy heart, and I will give thee my Father's kingdom." The throne of David is the heart of the people of God. What is the heart? Are we talking about the little organ that pumps the blood in our body? or are we talking about the center, the vital center of your whole being? That's what your heart is. You have spirit, you have soul, and you have body. And spirit, soul, and body gravitates around the focal point. Follow me? Spirit, soul, and body gravitate around a point. And this point is called your heart. Now you ask me, brother, listen, where is your heart? I know where my heart is. I don't know where yours is. My heart is in the spirit. Because that's where I want it to be. It may slip out sometimes, but I get it back right back in as quickly as possible. Hallelujah. In other words, your heart can swing like a pendulum off a clock. And your heart can be in the spirit, your heart can be in the soul, your heart can be in the flesh. Hallelujah! God said, where your heart is, there is your treasure. And in Ecclesiastes, we are told that the heart of man come on now, that's Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 2. The wise man's heart is at his right side, but the fool's heart is at his left side. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're not going to believe anymore that this is really our heart. When the Bible speaks about your heart, the Bible is speaking about your spiritual heart. Hallelujah. Where your treasure lies. Now, let's go back here. So therefore, he shall rule with throne of David. Now, let me show you how correct the scripture is. Hold there and turn to the fourth chapter of Luke. And in the fourth chapter of Luke, we see Jesus Christ in confrontation with the devil, Satan. And the devil said on verse 6, verse 5, the devil taketh him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world, in a moment of time. That means your heart and my heart and the heart of the man outside here, that is God's kingdom. That is the kingdom of the world. So that the hearts of people is the kingdom that God speaks about here. So but the devil showed Jesus Christ the kingdom. What did Jesus see? Look, brethren, if this happened in the natural, there's no mountain in the natural on which you could stand and see the world. So let's just forget it. It's more than natural. He took him in the spirit, and the mountain that he took him on was a spiritual height, a vantage point from which he could look down into the hearts of men. And Satan was showing him how he had possessed humanity, how he had taken their hearts. I never forgot one time, I prayed to God for deliverance. I was being bound up. My life was bound up by evil spirits. Just couldn't get
get off. Just couldn't do anything right. And I prayed for deliverance, and God showed me that a prince of devil had me bound up. You know what he bound me with? A bicycle, a motorcycle, an old radio. Little things that I had my heart on. You hear me? Some of us love something so much, and we don't know how much the devil is using these things. I have a brother who got his back broken in three places. He was sitting down one day, and a feeling came to him just to jump on his motorcycle and have a ride. And he said there was something telling him, don't do it. But there was something forcing him so badly that he jumped on the cycle and took off. Right into a car. Amen. The devil binds you with little things. Little things that you love to do. Some people can't get away from playing certain games. They can't get away from bowling. They can't get away from certain things, just simple things that bind you and they take your time and they prevent you contacting God. God stand at one side, come, I want to speak to you. But it's time for bowling. It's time to look at a show on the TV. It's time for this and that, and you rush off. And you leave Jesus standing there. We're talking now about Jesus who is reigning as King. We're talking about the crowning of Jesus Christ as absolute monarch of your soul. Hallelujah. Can you do that? You'll give up a lot of things, I tell you. And so, the devil showed him the kingdom. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, old devil? He's boasting about the power that he has with men. He's boasting about your power which you lack. Glory to God Almighty. Sister, child of God, taken by evil spirit, messed up her mind, send her off to the asylum. We are the children of God, sit down to worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's God. And it is ours. We must not sit down. Let me tell you something. When the devil wants to oppress a child of God, he comes to you and says, that child of God must have done some great sin. Why he's sick that way? He cuts you down. He stops you from praying. Let me tell you, no devil has any right over anybody. The worst sinner on earth, Jesus Christ, paid for his sin. No devil has any right over him. Command the devil to let loose, he must let go. We're telling him now, the power and the glory belongs to God. Hallelujah. So he was showing Jesus the power that he had. And the glory of it, he said he would give them. This was the plan of the devil from the beginning of time. From before humanity was made, Satan wanted you, and he didn't care about the wishy-washy Christian. He wanted the best. You said, Brother, this is weird. Did you find the thing about it? I'm going to show you presently. You know I'm not going to tell you anything unless I had it well written down in the Bible before I told you. So turn your Bibles with me back to Ezekiel. Look at Isaiah 14 instead of Ezekiel. And in verse 13, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's the children of God he's talking about. He wanted to put his throne above you. He wants to rule you. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Great is the Lord and great is to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. Joy of the whole earth is what? Mount Zion in the sides of the north, the city of the great king. So it is Mount Zion that Lucifer wanted. And this he wanted from the very beginning. The Bible describes here as Lucifer falling from heaven over this principle that he wants to rule Zion. Let me tell you, brethren, we have power in Jesus Christ to overcome every power of the enemy. Don't submit to it. If you're hurting, if your head is on the ground, if you're dying, keep confessing victory. Glory to God. Can you see the principle? There's a divine principle here. The divine principle here. That Satan has no power outside of you. Can you understand that? If every human being today should cast the devil out, Satan would be without 1 ounce of power, unable to move or to do anything. This is the reason why the scripture describes the casting out of the devil out of the human heaven as the greatest thing. And he said, now has come salvation. You thought salvation had come with Jesus. Sure, salvation began with Jesus, but it's going to end with you. For you are going to have to get rid of the devil. Let me make sure that you understand what I'm talking about. Turn your Bible to Revelation, chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. This proves to you that we're not talking about the heaven's invisible realm of God. Okay? There's no war in God's invisible realm. There's peace, there's joy, there's love, there's happiness. There's no war there. So this must refer to a heaven where there is war. And this heaven is your spirit, soul, and body where God is preparing to dwell. How would you describe heaven? Where Jesus is heaven there. Hallelujah. So is Jesus in you? Hallelujah. So that's the heaven. That's the heaven. And that's the heaven where the war is going on. Hallelujah. So, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Do you know why the Bible didn't say the devil? Why the Bible said the dragon? Because the word dragon includes 7 heads and 10 horns. Hallelujah. And this includes the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. Come on now. That's why the word said dragon. For the word dragon covers everything that we're fighting against. You are fighting to cast the world out of you. You are fighting to cast the flesh out of you. And when you succeed, you cast the devil out of you. For the devil lives in the world and the flesh. So, thank God, we are not part of the world church. Thank God, we are not part of the world organization. Thank God, we are not part of the flesh. Therefore, this is the point. The war is going on. Let's read what happened when the Seraphim and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That means his messengers. The flesh is a messenger of Satan. The world is a messenger of Satan. So it says not only the devil was cast out, but his messengers, his angels, were cast out with him. And I heard a little voice saying in heaven, now is come Jesus, salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Did you find out how the devil accuses you? Did any of you ever find out how he does it? Let me tell you how the devil accuses you. The devil comes to you and says, boy or girl, you know, you can't allow people to walk over you like this. You just fight back. Do something about it, you know. You just can't allow this, you know. And so the devil tempts you to do the wrong. And when you do the wrong, the devil calls another Christian to look at the Christian over there. Look at that Christian. While the devil is working through you, the devil is calling somebody and telling somebody else that it is a Christian that's doing that. Now the devil is lying, because it's the devil that's doing that. You get me? When you get mad and cuss somebody, hey man, who did it? Christian? No, sir. The Christian didn't do that. It's the devil did that. But the devil knew your body. And you were careless enough to allow it. So he accused you of a lie that you're not guilty of. This is why we must forgive one another. Amen. This is a very good reason why we must forgive one another and realize that the enemy is using people's bodies to make them look evil to you when they are not evil. Praise God. Now we go on. We turn right back to Luke. And we're looking at what the angel said to Mary. Because we want to see what the angel said about Jesus especially. What he's to do. He's going to rule on the throne of his father David. That means Jesus Christ must be king in your heart. And I am telling you this, brethren, there is no greater place that you could reach in God than to make Jesus king and to keep him there on the throne. If you understand what I'm talking about, I mean, you mustn't pick up yourself. and say, I'm going to Missouri without Jesus telling you, yes, 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 in fact. Some of us say he's king, but we treat him like a visitor in our house. A visitor comes to your house. You feed him. You give them the best bedroom. You do everything that you know is necessary to make him feel comfortable. You give them all the honor, but you don't let him take over the house. Come on now, tell the truth. Every visitor comes in, you say, okay, the house is yours, you take over, you just tell us what to do. We'll obey you. You don't do that. Some of us are treating Jesus like a good visitor. We must realize that Jesus is king. Treat him like king. Don't make a move without Jesus. Don't think a thought without Jesus. Don't allow your behavior to cause you to do anything, to behave in a way that is contrary to Jesus and be Jesus conscious. And this is making him king more than anything else. I thought I was just going to talk a little on that, but I think I want to hold on to it. And if this is all we get this evening, it will be great. Jesus is king. Pray, thy kingdom come. Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, some of us get too spiritual to pray the Lord's Prayer. And you know why? Because we never did understand what it meant. We were praying it like robots. But I'm asking you to pray the Lord's Prayer with deliberation and understanding. I kneel before God and I said, Father, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in me as it is done in heaven. Hallelujah. That is a request. The Bible says, whatever you ask the Lord, he'll do. Why don't you ask for the kingdom of God to come within you as it is in heaven? Glory to God in the highest. You'll break through. This is what will happen to you. Because this is the will of God, that God should get a people in the earth to rule before he rules the earth. I'm drawing my usual box. Three dimensions of the king coming in to rule the kingdom. Three dimensions of the kingdom of God. The first one is, we can take anyone for the first one. I'm not being specific now. Let's take the one as I just mentioned, Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We're talking about the kingdom within. The kingdom within. Turn your Bibles to the 17th chapter of Luke. 17th chapter of Luke. And the 20th and 21st verses. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." You cannot see the kingdom of God with your natural eye. "Neither shall they say, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Hallelujah. Therefore, we see Luke 17:20-21 telling us of an inward kingdom, a Christ that is going to rule from within us. Kings do rule, but they rule from out to in. They tell you what to do, and you do it. But this king, he comes into the kingdom, and he sits on the throne inside, and then he controls you and rules you from within. So, we must make a decision. I am commanding you by the blood of Jesus Christ that every human being here this evening make a decision to make Jesus Christ king. First of all, we're going to repent of our ways, our own ways, which have been hurting the kingship of Jesus. We have not allowed him to rule. We have done things in our own self-will. We did not consult him. And when we consulted him, we didn't wait on him. Come on. And as we bow before God this very evening, we are going to make a covenant with God. Jesus Christ said, "I shall not drink of this fruit of the vine until I drink it new in the kingdom." You know what I'm saying to you? I'm saying you are going to drink with Jesus Christ a new covenant in the kingdom. Within your soul, you are going to say, "Jesus, wherein I have failed." Want to repent and fail no more. I want to make a covenant with you in your blood now, that I make you king, and that I consult you. And furthermore, Jesus, if I am going to make a mistake, I want you to catch me up, to tell me about it. For I am determined that you must be king. The dearest idol I have known, whatever the idol be, help me to tear it from its throne and worship only thee. Hallelujah. The next, we see that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Christ. Another dimension of the kingdom of this world. You know what the devil showed Jesus in Luke 4, which we just read a while ago? He said, "I showed him in a moment of time the kingdoms of this world. And he said, 'I will give them to you if you'll bow down and worship me.'" He showed him the kingdoms of this world. Luke chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6. 5 and 6. And Jesus Christ rejected it, because Jesus Christ told Pilate, He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Well, Jesus knew he was going to take away the territory from the devil. If you look at Daniel 2, and verses 45 and 44, 45, you see the phrase there, the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of God and his Christ. If you turn around to Daniel 7, so turn your Bibles with me, Daniel 7, and in verses 18 and in verse 27, the same thought is carried out. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And in verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey. Can you see what we're talking about? That even the kingdom out there, the United States, Russia, China, the world, is going to be taken over by Jesus Christ. But not before you make him king. You see that? You must first, God is depending on you to make Jesus Christ king first. Then he begins to live in you, then he will take over the world. You notice the scripture here says in Daniel that the saints of the Most High, which saints you think? Those wishy-washy ones? Those who never made Jesus king? No. Those who have made Jesus Christ king are the saints that God is going to use to take over the world. He said he saw stone cut out of the mountain. Chapter 2 we're talking about, Daniel. And the stone was cut out of the mountain without hand. That means by the Holy Spirit. And the stone rolled down into Babylon. Hallelujah. And the stone smote the image which was the emblem, the symbol of the kingdoms of this world. You know what was peculiar about the image? You know what was peculiar about that image? The feet of the image represented a correlation between the church and the world. Did you ever think of that? The feet of the image represented the world and the church coming together. Amen. Sometimes when we get into that teaching about Babylon, we'll be able to show you that. But the feet of the image, if you want to ask questions afterwards, you'll get a chance to. The feet of the image represents both the world and the church coming together in a one world government. And this is what the sons of God will smite, like a stone cut out of the mountain, and will grind it to powder, and the Holy Ghost will blow the powder away, and set the earth free, once and for all, and forever. Praise be to God. Therefore, you see how important it is that we, the children of God, make Jesus Christ king. Now, we cannot wait any longer. Christ must be king now. very, very important word to you. Hallelujah. And then the kingdom within, and then the heavenly, invisible kingdom. The invisible kingdom. Hallelujah. Those brothers and sisters who are gone on, you are the brothers. What? Turn your Bible to Ephesians. You know, these are scriptures we go over several times, but sometimes when you get a scripture in a certain context, it gives more life. Let's take Ephesians 1 again. And in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one kingdom all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So we are being joined together with the Spirit of our brother. Just men made perfect. We are being joined together with the angelic host. Hallelujah. This is the reason why one scripture we just read a while ago said, Michael the archangel fought for us. This is why another scripture tells us of Gabriel bringing a message to Mary. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. You see that scripture that we read in Luke, the first scripture there, which told us of the angel coming to Mary. Let's just look back at it. We can close on that point. The angel coming to Mary. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Let me tell you the whole truth about that man. Everything that God does on the natural plane, God does it again on the spiritual plane until he brings it into perfection. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and Mary brought forth Jesus Christ, a natural human Son of God. Right now, the Holy Ghost is overshadowing the church, another woman, the church, and she is becoming pregnant with this new life that will roll down the mountain and break Babylon to pieces. Can you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God in heaven. If you have any questions on your heart, I want you to ask them to me. Ask me now. Any questions about what I have said? Or about what I have not said. Hallelujah. Amen. The stone cut out of the mountain without hand, the sons of God coming forth from within us. Hallelujah. Amen. We are becoming, yes.
Lord,
yes, I believe that we should begin to tell the people to make Jesus king rather than say Lord. For Lord, there are many lords, but there is only one king. The word Lord has less power than the word king. King means that he's ruling over you. But Lord if you mean when you say Lord, if you mean King, then say King. Hallelujah.